and gentlemen, welcome to another Red Eyes Radio program. My name is Henrik Palmgren. I'm from Sweden, the land of the Goths, or the Geats, if you so prefer. The website is redeyescreations.com, where you can find a whole lot more of what we do. I'm going to keep the intro short today because we have an excellent show lined up with three inspiring guys. Marcus Folin, a.k.a. The Golden One, Justin Garcia from The Pressure Project, and Paul Wagoner from The Wolves of Vinland. We are going to talk about some of the most important issues that are facing men in the Western world right now. Marcus, Justin, and Paul, great to have you guys here. Thank you so much for coming on, to all of you. We had, of course, both Justin and Marcus with us here not too long ago, so I think our regular listeners will be familiar with you. But I wanted to let you guys just, you know, introduce yourself with a few words for people who might not be familiar with your work yet. You know, we might get some newcomers tuning into this show as well. And, well, Paul, we haven't had you on the program before, so I always like to give an opportunity for newcomers to kind of tell us a little bit about themselves. So let's start with you, Paul, and tell us about the Wolves of Vinland.
Wolves of Vinland is a tribal organization that I'm a founding member of here in America. We have chapters from coast to coast. It exists as an organization for people to pressure each other to stronger character and so on and so forth. There's sort of too much to say on that regard to cover it all right now, but suffice to say I'm a founding member of that, and I run an organization slash company called Operation Werewolf as well.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk more about that later, Paul. You know, there's a lot of things that you guys are doing that I think is really, you know, beneficial as kind of a template, if you will, specifically for people who are just, you know, want to start out and do or build something similar to what you guys have been doing. So let's definitely get into some more detail about that later. But Marcus, let's switch over to you. Thank you so much for coming back on the show again. Tell us about your YouTube channel and what it is that you do.
Thank you very much. An honor and pleasure to be back at Red Eyes, and especially on this highly testosterone-ous conversation.
You're welcome.
So YouTube is my main thing now. It has grown quite a bit since we last spoke, actually, and that's obviously very rewarding for me to put in the work. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the channel, you can use YouTube, search for The Golden One, and then you see kind of what I do there. Mainly philosophy, training, politics, masculinity, books, yeah, a bit of everything, but the common theme is masculinity and strength training, that sort of thing.
Great. Thank you, Marcus. And we have Justin with us as well. Always a pleasure. Now tell us about your show and some of the things you're up to.
All right. Well, I have the Pressure Project, which is a podcast for men. I've been doing it for a couple of years now. Not embarrassed to admit that Red Eyes has been a tremendous influence on a lot of how I decided to run the podcast. You guys do such a great job over here. But I'm from New York. I have four children that are homeschooled. I run a couple of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu / mixed martial arts academies here in New York. And the podcast, for the most part, is trying to get men, empower men to reclaim, you know, what masculinity once was, and to sort of fight all the cultural Marxism. And again, I'll piggyback off of what Marcus said. It's a pleasure to be here in this particular episode, too.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. I think that more or less takes care of the introductions, if you will. So my idea here today was to actually talk a bit about some of the issues that many men are struggling with, both young men, but I think it would apply more or less across the age range as well. And, you know, getting to some of the issues that we face, including how to build networks, learning from some of the experiences that you guys have, how to organize and how to effectively respond to some of the things that we've been seeing unfolding in Europe in particular this last year. And I think we should begin there, actually, talk a bit about what has been going on in Germany, in Cologne, with these, the media call them sex attacks. But let's be honest, these refugees are molesting women and even children. We actually had a boy 3 years old raped in Norway, revealed just the other day. In Sweden, we had sexual assaults on women at this music festival in Stockholm, I think 2 years in a row, actually, and the papers here and the police have been trying to cover it up. And I just wanted to get your take on this, to be honest, and what you think about what is going on, and also what a proper response to something like this should be. I don't want to, you know, incriminate you and you know, have you walk into something you might not want to say, etc. But I'm thinking strategically as well, you know, not solely responding, you know, to the anger that we have about this, but do this in a smart way to try to obviously, you know, prevent this from happening, taking our responsibility, if you will, as men in these ruins of countries of ours. And let's be honest, I think in many ways, you know, our hands are tied. I think the system would actually turn on us. Our governments would turn on us before they actually helped us out and stand behind the people that they're actually supposed to represent. So, you know, it's a very delicate situation, really difficult one. But I'm going to pass this over to you, Marcus, because I know you have some things, you know, right out the gates you wanted to talk about concerning this. So what was your initial response to what was revealed in Germany now over New Year's?
Indeed, I have a lot of things to cover here. But to keep it relatively short, can you say that these sort of men coming in, or I don't even want to call them men, but these guys who come in to harass women, they have, and this is extremely important for all Western guys to realize, that they are not like us. They are not culturally compatible with us. Which means that when they see a woman that is unescorted by a male, they will see a victim and they will pounce upon that target. Just as a thief will see a wallet that is unguarded, he will take the wallet. And the exact same mentality is going through these invaders. Now, what we can do that will not land you in prison and will not land you in particularly much trouble if you do it in a good way. A male presence will always be deterring towards potential harassers. So, say if during the summer in Sweden, a lot of these refugees will you know, get some sort of shock when they see women on the beach, for example, or women walking down the street in any major city having a skirt on. If there is a male presence there, and we're talking about not going around looking angry at them, just a male presence, that will be deterring towards these refugees to even start anything with it. Because that is how they're brought up. They're brought up with a woman should always have a male companion. That is not how we do it in the West, but now reality looks exactly like it is, and we have to adapt to it until we can salvage the larger picture, as it were. Now, what I want to come with this a little rambling is that if you have an imposing posture, if you have an imposing presence, if people can see that you're confident, and I mean, people can see that a mile away, you can spot, you know, as Justin would say, a feeder or a receiver, you can spot that quite easily. Now, if they see a Swedish man who has a proud posture, who has a large, you know, imposing presence, that will act as a deterrent for sex attacks. So, by your mere presence, you can help avoid rapes. And that's also why it's so important to get into training, be physically fit, have that domineering presence. So, that was, I'm not going to take off the whole episode by talking about that, but that was just one thought I wanted to share with everyone. Mm-hmm. The importance of our domineering male presence.
Right, let me jump in there. I agree with everything Marcus said. And as far as saying anything incriminating, I'll just make sure I do it in a Swedish accent. But the big thing I've contended from the beginning is that we needn't even rely on any value judgment with these people. I think that the entire position could be established and dealt with just by acknowledging that they're incompatible. How they live is not compatible with how we live. I don't have to say they're better or worse. I could certainly, and I certainly have my opinions on that. But functionally, I just think they're incompatible with our culture, with our society. As far as empowering the men, the indigenous or you know, natural men, the Swedish men, the Europeans, the people who are being invaded, I agree. I agree that, you know, your presence is needed now more than ever. But I'll also add to what Marcus said and say that, you know, we can't bluff. It can't be fraudulent. You know, sticking your chest out and trying to look like a man when you know, you know, you're doing nothing more than a bluff, is going to eventually hit a wall, because these people in their culture are willing to go and test the waters. They are willing to push past those boundaries of a facade of masculinity. I think it is a time now that men need to get in touch with their, you know, relationship with violence, a relationship with that warrior ethos that any successful you know, culture has flourished, you know, with in the past, and really get in touch with, you know, the tribalism that I know everybody here supports, and that, you know, makes a decently strong man, strong synergistically, you know, through his connection through tribe. You know, it's not anything that anybody can do individually, but it needs to organically happen at the core of these men reawakening, you know, the sense of masculinity, the sense of pride, and the sense of tribe.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I think if I can jump in, you know, what definitely these guys are saying is correct, and I'd like to add that one of the biggest mistakes I think that Western people make, that we used to not make, but that certainly in the modern world we do, is that we expect everybody to play by our rules. And this is just, it's not the case. You know, you can't expect other people to act with your same sense of honor or moral code or any of these things. And definitely what Justin said, you know, it's not enough to look hard. You have to be that way. I'm not a very large guy, unlike these other two guys. You know, I'm like 5'7". I weigh about 170 pounds. I've had to have an intimate knowledge and understanding of violence since I was young, because I'm at about the size and I'm covered in enough tattoos that when I go into a bar, I look gnarly enough that people will start shit with me, but I'm small enough that they think they can win. And so I've had to work really hard to make sure that it's not a bluff. And, you know, for a lot of these guys, what Marcus said is great. You know, being there and being present is definitely a deterrent, but you have to make sure that if they say, well, how much of a deterrent is it? You have to be prepared to go all the way. And I think that, you know, no matter what people might say about you, what might incriminate you, I don't believe it's incriminating to say that if you're going to defend yourself and you're in a situation where you're in fear for your life or the life of somebody that you're with, you have to be prepared to rock and roll, and you have to be ready to go as far as you need to go. And a lot of what, a lot of a man's relationship with violence is about, do you want to be someone who is actually able to carry that violence out, or do you want to posture and be someone who is seen as being able to carry that violence out? Because a lot of people, and I can say this from experience, they lose their stomach rapidly for violence when it starts to go further than they were anticipating it to go. And you have to be ready for situations to always escalate to the highest level. And I think that can be difficult, and it has to be trained for. So I would back up what those guys are saying. You should be physically strong, you should be physically imposing, and you should also train yourself, like I know Marcus and Justin both do, in order to make sure that that's a threat that can be backed up.
Yeah, definitely. There are a couple of points here of what you guys have mentioned already that I wanted to pick up on. I mean, the reality is that the standards of the way of life is obviously being lowered to their level. Because, I mean, ultimately this means, despite what we might think of the liberal values of the West, what this in kind of means in practicality is that women will have to be escorted in a way that, of course, all the feminists have been kind of complaining on. Ironically, this is kind of turning around in that way again. But what else I think we can say about this is that there's a good example, actually, of a stabbing in Sweden that occurred, this is actually also just about 3 days ago. It was actually a Lithuanian kid. He was 15 years old. He was standing up to this, he might have been Syrian or Afghani refugee, who was, this was at a Swedish school, and he was stabbed to death after he was kind of standing up and defending some of the other students, because they were being harassed by this refugee, and he was being you know, very, very difficult with the girls there and whatnot. And he, as far as the story came through, he had been standing up to this guy, and then later, when he was actually lying down half asleep on a bench, he was stabbed, and he eventually died at the hospital. I mean, and this is a way, of course, very unhonorable, that this is practically like stabbing someone in the back, right? That they, many of them don't seem to care about this, and it's just remarkable. And the question is how we can prepare ourselves for something like that, which is so violent that we're so unaccustomed to that. Any comments, guys?
I'm actually going to share something of that Justin said in a recent, if it was a podcast or a Facebook update, and that is fighting in a tribe versus fighting outside the tribe, and that other rules apply. Now, obviously, the Lithuanian guy, like white, regular European, Arminas was his name.
That's right.
Rest in peace, young hero.
Yes.
Like, he was obviously in the tribe, and if he would have fought with a Swedish guy over the affection of a girl, for example, just two regular boys fighting, that would entail other rules. But now people need to realize that when you fight outside the tribe, that they don't care. They couldn't care less, because in their culture, the fair fight doesn't exist. Like, this is a European thing to have a fair fight.
Right.
They don't have a fight. Either you win or you die. And yeah, then you get stabbed in the back. It's extremely cowardly and not something you would do, but this is the reality, which is looking back at us. And also to just chime in to the additions that Justin and Paul did, which I agree with completely. As Jack Donovan says, violence is golden. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the one with the most capacity for violence will be the victor.
Right, yeah. Right. And if I could add, with the refugee who stabbed the young man, I wouldn't say it was dishonorable, because he wasn't a member of the tribe, as Marcus pointed out. I would also, and this may throw some people for a loop, I wouldn't even say it's cowardly. I would say that, you know, I define a coward as somebody who avoids an obligatory reaction. You know, if somebody has given an oath to perform a role in the tribe and runs from that role and obligation because of maybe inherent danger, that's cowardly. But if we think about, you know, whether it's the feudal Japanese ninja or, you know, some of our special forces guys today, you know, like, taking somebody out while they're sleeping is kind of like the way to get it done correctly. That's how you do it when you take somebody out. You do it while they're sleeping.
I think Justin's nail on the head, because, you know, honor is one of those things that, you know, and we keep, you know, already Jack Donovan's been mentioned, but, you know, reading his work and certainly my own opinion is that honor is tribal. You know, this guy now has a reputation as someone who's willing to kill someone for what he believes in, or he believes he's been slighted or whatever. And I know for me and in my tribe, I would rather our tribe had the reputation of winning than losing fair. Because
Right. Mm-hmm.
A fair fight is for a fucking idiot. Anybody who waits around for a fair fight, if you're outside of a bar and you're raising your fisticuffs over some fucking stupid situation, you shouldn't be fighting about it in the first place. There's an old saying that if a man is worth insulting, he's worth killing. If you're involved in a situation, it shouldn't be a fair fight. Where fair fights exist is in competition. Stuff like MMA, that's where a fair fight exists. If you're out in the real world and it's a serious situation, win however you can win.
You know, and I'll say too, and I got this from my good friend Tom Kyer, a fair fight can very much be a in-tribe ritual. You know, we're going to have some form of less than lethal confrontation to resolve a matter internally, because we know if my house fights your house, the tribe at large becomes weaker. So we acknowledge that we're going to have this lesser form of battle. But, you know, like I said, you know, if I want to kill somebody, you know, figuratively speaking, of course, I'm going to stab them while they're sleeping on a bench. And this, again, is a call to be realistic in how people are looking at this predicament. This isn't some, you know, we need to help them, we need to empower them, they just need more opportunity. No, this is an incompatible culture full of people who are not going to assimilate, who see us as somebody who is outside their tribe, and now our young people are getting stabbed while sleeping on benches. You know, shame on the Swedish, shame on the Europeans, shame on the people who expect these invading forces to act otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus, what the hell? What are you doing over there?
I'm actually in Ireland now. We have a bit of a different mindset here. But I want to chime into human errors. I think this is universal, but I suspect that it's particularly Swedish as well. And that is that you expect people to behave the same way as you do, so that you expect people to have a fair fight. So in Sweden, up until we started accepting a lot of immigrants, we had this culture where it was better to win the fair fight. And obviously, the immigrants didn't take any consideration to that at all. And thus, they became very dominant in the regular street life, because they were always willing to go to extents that that the Germanic guy wasn't willing, because the Germanic guy still had that, you know, in-tribe sense of honor fighting. So he still thought that these other immigrants are part of the tribe. And obviously, honorable fighting inside the tribe is something good. Obviously, it is. But the mistake they did was that they saw the immigrants coming at them with knives and jumping at them 10 to 1, etc. Like typical, like as I see it, cowardly behavior. But the Swedish guys didn't realize that that was the new rules that the other guys played with. So I think that is a factor that made the Swedish guys back off a bit from the immigrants, because they didn't have that in-tribe sense of honor. Whereas the immigrants, they had their tribe, and the Swedish guys were the enemy, whereas the Swedish people saw the immigrants as in their tribe. So it was a different mindset completely.
Mm. Exactly right. Mm. Exactly right.
At the risk of dragging that out at all, too, one of the big issues is that a lot of the guys in Sweden, in Germany, in the United States, who would be capable and more than willing to be out on the street and handling these sorts of situations are probably already in prison. You know, they have marks against them, because generally speaking, Western males who exhibit violent tendencies, who did not find an outlet for that, because in our day and age, it is more and more difficult to find an outlet for that sort of ability or that sort of relationship with violence. Oftentimes they do seek out tribal organizations, and you can see this in the 1% of world motorcycle culture, all these sort of things. And a lot of times, you know, these kind of people, they don't have an outlet in modern society, and so they wind up in gladiator schools, they wind up in prison and all this kind of thing. And what you're left with out on the streets is guys wearing skinny jeans who couldn't fight their way out of a fucking paper bag. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing here, though, is that we have this another layer to it as well, just as you bring up, Paul, that these particular guys are probably already in a situation where they're unable to do something about these kinds of things now, because we have a level of, punishment, for the lack of a better term, from the government's point of view, where they pursue probably us more than they would these refugees, etc. I know many cases where, you know, these people get off with basically not a punishment. It's basically a slap on the wrist and out you go back into society again. They're not, you know, many of them are not repatriated, sent home. Many of them are not even, like, in prison for a long time, but they get out again and have an ability to do what they do. On the other hand, so here we are, right, and trying to wrestle with this idea of from what angle do we attack this problem, and how can we do it in such a way that we simply just won't be removed from the picture and spending, you know, many years in jail for basically fighting back. It's a really difficult question. And I think it comes down to this idea of sacrifice, actually, to a certain extent, that there must be a willingness here then for us to go that extra mile, I guess, for the lack of a better term, that we have to set our foot down, right? Because otherwise our society is going to be turned into their societies. And that is a win scenario for them, right? They have managed now to lower the standards of our society down to their level. And, you know, it's really problematic in terms of how you fight that. I mean, we can't remain a liberal, progressive society if, let's assume that that's what we wanted or whatever, that could be argued, but let's assume that that's what we wanted for a moment, because it's something that we have now. That becomes unattainable and is something that we can't uphold when we have these kinds of people within our countries.
Well, I think that it's going to be hard for people to stay within the boundaries and format of an oppressive system of government and still battle this effectively when everything that is set up by these governments is in line with empowering this, you know, this invasion and this changeover of the culture of the European countries. And, you know, being here in the United States, you know, we're right at the, you know, at the cusp of that, the transpiring here also. You know, you know, if you think you're going to operate within the law and combat this effectively, you're being delusional. And if I could just add one more thing, my good friend Tom Kier once said on one of my podcast episodes, he said men today, you know, one of the big issues is they don't have anything that is more important to them than their own lives. And I think you bringing up that term sacrifice is at the heart of what turns us around. You know, you're not going to get out of this unscathed. And if you are, then, you know, you're going to be very easily controlled as you have been up until now.
Yeah, the only way to combat any of this stuff, it's foolish to think that you can go out with public opinion the way that it is now and do what you would like to do and that would be successful. There's just no way. The way that this can be combated, and the only way that this can be combated, is to win and begin winning popular opinion. And the way that that's done, and somebody can take this home, write this down, cult leads to culture. Rome was founded as a wolf cult, and it sprang from this little tiny seed, but through glorious action, these people were able to build a lasting and massive empire. And the way that we can do this is exactly the way that Marcus and the way that Justin and the way that you guys, by putting this sort of stuff out there for people to hear it, the way that we will win, because it can't even be a thought that we won't win, is that what we do is we spread the idea of what we're discussing here, and we make young people, again, rediscover a savage, wild love for their own culture. And then we make men men again. And those things done in tandem will lead to an absolute golden age. And there's no question. This will happen. What's currently going on cannot sustain itself. The center cannot hold. And you already can see this. It's starting to crumble and break apart. And gentlemen like us, with groups like ours, will be here when everything begins to fall apart. And then it'll be up to us whether we decide to help out the people who are now reaching out their hands where before they spat at us.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. Metapolitics is extremely important. We can even look at the poll numbers in Sweden. Now, the Sweden Democrats, perhaps not the perfect party, but for the Swedish people, it is at least the party that wants to halt or decrease immigration. And they are going forward in basically every poll. Like we had 6 years ago, or even 4 years ago, it was extreme taboo to even express the tiniest support for their ideas, but now they are basically the largest parties in every other poll, and that is also obviously due to reality knocking on the door.
Yeah, I was going to say, Marcus, it's incredible what beheadings and bombs can do, right?
Yeah, I mean, people are getting fed up, and then obviously metapolitics, that people get out via the internet, spread their ideas, the rekindling of masculinity. I mean, a real man does not accept Swedish politics, not only in terms of immigration, but also the not oppressive state, but to aware our non-Swedish listeners that the feminist idea of the state going in to decide who takes care of the child after he's being born, so that the state comes in and tells, like, okay, the mother gets 6 months with the child, and the father gets 6 months. I mean, no real man is going to accept that the state goes in and decides in his own house.
Right.
So I think a lot of the ideas that we're spreading right now, both in terms of masculinity and the love for our own culture, will be the spark that ignites the large flame that will purify Europe of cultural Marxism.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Now, many men blame women as well in these times, and many boys blame women too. And this is of course excluding the damage that feminism that is doing. What I'm about to say, I mean, but one of the characteristics, what do we call them, noble virtues, whatever, is partially to also look in the mirror, right, and to do some kind of self-examination first and ask, okay, yeah, is there something that we are doing wrong? Like, unlike some people do, they never ask themselves that question. They never look in the mirror. But what can men do to get themselves out of the situation without just kind of defaulting to blaming feminism? And we should, of course, we should talk about that. It's a huge problem, yeah, and a huge area. But do you guys think that we are responsible in creating the kind of society that we have in the West today?
I think that women do not deserve a place at the table of masculinity. I do not tolerate women telling me what is manly and what isn't. I don't think anybody should. And
that 'cause you're afraid of strong women?
Right. And, well, here's the thing. Strong women breed strong women. Strong men breed strong men. Both of them allow the other to flourish, but they're not components of each other. And when it comes to, you know, masculinity in terms of a group of men, you know, I'm always going to listen to the men that I respect in terms of masculinity. When you talk about tribe and family and things of that nature, it becomes a different dynamic. But when men these days look for excuses as to why they can't be men, and even assign feminism as an excuse for them not doing what they should be obligated to do as men, it's not something that I accept. You know, it's an excuse. It's slave morality. It's allowing somebody else's opinion of them to become a component of how they see themselves. And I don't think that's masculine. And, you know, women, and in the same way, you know, women, you shouldn't be listening to men to determine what a strong woman is. You know, I have a strong family, a strong bond. I've been married 12 years, you know, but I'm not going to tell my wife how she could be a stronger woman. And she's not going to tell me how I'm going to be a stronger man.
100%. You know, my wife would never dream of telling me how to be a better man. And she's an incredibly powerful and strong female, and she knows where her areas of expertise are, and that's what makes us an effective couple. And I think that talking about feminism, just recognize it as part of the enemy's Hydra head and move on. You cannot continue to base your opinions and your standpoints in this world by reaction. You have to act, and you have to act on what you know is your supreme north and constantly act on that compass. If we're constantly reacting to what the enemy does, then we're always on the defense. Anybody who's done any sort of fight training knows you have to interrupt the cadence of the fight and stop letting your opponent call the rhythm of the fight. We have to begin taking our own actions and stop worrying so much about what the enemy does. They're always going to be doing what they do. We have to come together and just act with you know, pure hearts, strong limbs, and actions matching words. That's what we need to be doing.
Mm. Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I would just like to say that in regards to blaming women, I have a very large disdain for blaming others for one's failures. Now, obviously, we can look at, yes, I also get mad when I see these girls standing with refugees welcome signs. However, I mean, they're 15-year-old girls. I mean, you couldn't expect them to be ideologically perfect at that age, yeah. And especially if their main interest isn't politics. So that means that it is our duty as the opposite side, because if we're playing a match against, or a metapolitical war against the cultural Marxism, and as you said, like, feminism is just another head of the Hydra, which has tricked men and women into believing in feminism and pushing these ideas. But it's not something that women created. I mean, third wave feminism and cultural Marxism, it isn't something that regular Western, like Swedish women created. It was created as a weapon against Western civilization. But I think a lot of people get, you know, when they hear the word feminism, they think about females and make that connection, of course, without realizing that feminism is just, yeah, what it is.
Yeah.
And also the thing that, you know, blaming women and almost, you know, suit themselves, they want this. It is not the women's responsibility to protect our borders. The women's responsibility is to raise strong children, and the responsibility of Europe's men is to protect the borders, regardless if the women want it or not.
Right.
Yeah. And I think to add to that, you know, one of the complaints that I see all the time from these people who are constantly bitching about women and that they're the problem and so on and so forth, is that one of the things that any man has to realize is that you have to provide these women with a desirable alternative to the degeneracy that they have available to them.
Yep.
So if you're a fucking weakling, then you have absolutely no say in this matter. And why would any woman want you to begin with? You're not an anchor because you know, God forbid I say this, and every woman on my, you know, following me on Facebook unfollows me.
All four of them.
What a strong woman wants is a strong male who will act as an anchor. And it doesn't matter what's said, you cannot war against millions of years of evolution. Women and men are evolved to want specific things, and women are evolved to want powerful males who are capable of defense, of providing, and of doing all these things. And if you're some weak beta pussy who's incapable of doing those things, then you have no right to speak out against her when she chooses someone else because he's capable of those things.
Exactly. I would just like to chime in, and for any men go in their own way is a movement which is basically the other side of the feminist coin, like men going their own way. And they actually think that they are combating feminism, but they are doing exactly what the creators of modern feminism want, a.k.a. the separation of family, the separation between men and women. So I would just like to say, if any men going their own way is listening to this right now, look yourself critically in the mirror, improve yourself as much as you possibly can, and then I promise you, you will probably find a woman that you can that can empower you as a man.
And let me add to that. Let me add to that.
You know, the whole notion of slave morality, which I talk about all the time, is this idea that I'm going to define who I am in terms of my relationship with other people. And it's as weak as one's sense of self could be, because it's relying on somebody else's basically control, you know. You're making somebody else's emotions and somebody else's identity a component of your own. The men going your own way movement, it's fucking stupid. It's stupid, it's pointless, it's weak. And strong men, and when I say strong men, this isn't a, you know, because I get this a lot because I powerlift, and, you know, strong men has to do with the mindset of a man, the mindset that's in tune with what's masculine. And we don't concern ourselves with what these, like, the women that want to date and want to have relationships with the refugees and people who have incompatible cultures, let them go. You know, they have nothing to do with us. The whole idea is making ourselves strong and empowering our own cultures so that the women that are around us choose to be with us, which is piggybacking exactly what Paul was saying. You know, if you are somebody who looks at women who go with other cultures as, you know, why are they doing that? They shouldn't be doing that. Looking to take some sort of step to stop them from doing that. You're doing it wrong. The whole thing is to become so powerful that your culture empowers itself and people are gravitating to want to be with you and a part of who you are.
100%.
Yeah, I agree. And we can just look at some of the men going in their own way. Like, look at them physically and see, you know, the posture, the kind of
they
weak.
They look like cooked asparagus.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then it's no, I mean, it's no surprise that women aren't necessarily attracted to them. And instead of, you know, taking responsibility for their own actions and saying to themselves, like, okay, cool, I'm going to get as fucking powerful as possible, and then women will find me attractive. But instead, they go on these rantings and ravings about how bad women are, and I find that incredibly weak and inglorious, unmanly.
The only relationships they're likely to be popular in is if they go to prison.
Exactly.
Well, you know, yeah, you have, I mean, the ideology literally won't be able to reproduce itself. Unless, of course, they manage to rein in some desperate men who are kind of close to giving up anyway. But, I mean, this is just falling right in line with what people, these crazy idiots like Noel Ignatieff, I think it was a Massachusetts College of Art and Design. I think he's at another, actually, he's at Harvard University, but there's this famous clip of him sitting talking about how he's trying to prevent whiteness from reproducing itself. That's what these boys are doing. They're walking right into the hands of these people who'd like to see us exterminated from this planet, you know?
Yeah. Also, is it, you know, I wasn't even aware that this was a legitimate movement, but everybody has a movement today, it seems, and when you look at these guys, you're like, is this really a sacrifice for you? Oh, it's you that swore off women, that's why you're not with that dime piece over there? Okay, okay.
You know,
I don't think they're that much of a movement. It's more like they have some sort of subreddit forum and they like to complain about women. So I don't really think that's something we need to take seriously. But I like talking about them because it's a good example on how to not conduct yourself as a man. Aka being a whiny little boy.
In one of Jack's books, his collection of essays, The Sky Without Eagles, he talks about the grievance table. And it's really a great perspective on trying to be a part of the men's rights movement, which for the most part is, you know, women saying we're oppressed, you know, everybody's out to get us. And the response of these men rights movements often is, well, no, we're oppressed too, and everybody's out to get us too. And that's not what we should be driving at.
No, exactly. Talk about cucking out, you know.
The world is capable of oppressing you. You deserve to be oppressed. That's the natural law. Definitely. Get ground down or get strong.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't want to spend too much time talking about them. They don't deserve it, frankly. They have more important things to turn on to. But I think it could serve as an important example, and I also think that the way that, you know, they go about this is a good example in terms of, you know, fulfilling what the other side wants us to do, because I think actually there's a lot of trolls within that group as well that are trying to attack, you know, the alt-right or kind of what's happening in terms of the movement within Europe of nationalism and these kinds of things, that they've realized that if they can get, you know, women to think that all we want is women in the kitchen or something, that, you know, this is what they're trying to project upon us. I'm rambling here a bit. I'm struggling to formulate this. So let me try to explain what I'm thinking about here specifically. After this NPI conference in Washington, D.C., a meeting with many within what has been called the alt-right, it's not the only group of people out there going in this direction, what have you, but there is some energy behind it, and there is a buzz around it that is attracting people to it, a lot of young people. And, you know, we were there. Justin, you bought a ticket too, and you showed up. And what was interesting was that these reporters that showed up, and by the way, the reporters were not selected and invited. As far as I understood it, any media outlet could come there and ask questions. So it wasn't like that the Daily Beast and this Jewish reporter was chosen to show up, as some think. But anyway, that's a side issue. What some of these reporters did was to focus on a number of divisive issues, like the male-female issue, to break up, I think, women's potential attraction to this movement. One of the things that was attempted to be projected upon the men in this group is that within it there exists a very rigid kind of, you know, 1950s stereotype male, like, you know, the feminist, you know, biggest nightmare, basically, that, you know, we only want to see women in the kitchen. And this was what the Daily Beast kind of was writing about as a warning to women, both within the group, but also kind of on the outside. And consequently, after this MPI conference, you had a clique of guys, or whatever they are, that are basically trying to reinforce this myth, right? They're inventing a straw man, effectively saying, yes, I'm X, and this is what X wants, right? So it's in lockstep with these, you know, leftist media outlets, basically. And I just find it very interesting that after this event, after the meeting, there was an increase in attacks on women that are either very directly or at the very least indirectly in some way okay with the ideology and politics that comes out of, you know, the alt-right and some of the related kind of issues to that. So it seems to me that a concerted effort was made here to break things up between men and women on this front. And I think that some of these agitators are leftists. They are cultural Marxists, losers, or dimwits, if nothing else,
yeah,
that if genuine are simply too stupid to see that they are fulfilling the agenda of those, you know, feminist outlets like the Daily Beast, and also of those people who want to make sure that there won't be any unity and growth within the crowd that are, you know, the growing crowd that are now opposed to immigration and cultural Marxism, that are, you know, more prone to nationalism and self-preservation of every people and their ability to preserve their culture and heritage and their tradition. So, you know, I think it's clear that it's not constructive what they're doing. And I think we should, you know, think about this clearly, and we shouldn't take it actually even seriously. You know, we should actually move ahead. We should focus on what we can do, things that we can change, work together with those people you agree with, even if it's just up to a certain stage or whatever. We need all the allies that we can get. So make sure that you work together instead of turning the guns on our own ranks. The threat that we're faced with here is far too serious and far too dangerous for us to ignore and, you know, fuck around on, because we are being replaced in our own countries and we have a hostile elite that are seeking to destroy Western civilization.
No doubt.
It's always the answer. The answer is always become stronger. Stop blaming other people for your mistakes. You know, these things that happen internally, this bickering, and you see it a lot of times too, segueing somewhat with, in particular, like heathenry online. And you see this infighting where everybody's looking for a voice, everybody's looking to win some sort of battle, no matter how insignificant it is, no matter how artificial it was, you know, it originated. You know, it's this infighting that has allowed these cultural Marxists to gain the ground they have. And if people would just focus on getting stronger, so much of this would fall by the wayside immediately.
Once you bench press over 300, these things become less of a problem.
It's true.
Yeah, good. All right, well, let's see here. There was another issue I wanted to bring up here, and it's, of course, very much related to everything we're talking about, but you mentioned something, Marcus, about basically being there as a presence, you know, in terms of trying to prevent these things that happen in Cologne on New Year's Eve, etc.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. I think it's true up to a certain point, but it seems also as well that if you do have maybe people that are, you know, physically more challenging, shall we say, than some of the other people out there, there might be a risk that this in itself will also attract people to try to mess with you, right? What usually happens is that they have a pack of people and they can gang up on anybody. And let's face it, you know, you can be, you know, immensely strong and brave and everything, and at a certain point, you just can't defend yourself if the numbers are not on your side. So I wanted to ask you guys what we can do in terms of creating networks, right? Creating tribe, getting guys together, because without this, I think it's impossible to try to achieve what we're trying to achieve here. So what tips and kind of advice do you guys have in terms of reaching out to people, try to get people that are already in your area to, you know, to start something, go on meetings, get together and do something? I mean, it's let's just kind of start from the top there, because there are many things that I think you can recommend. Should it be kind of focused and centered around some kind of training or physical activity? Is it enough just to, you know, meet up and go out for drinks and you know, talk shit? Or, you know, what do you guys recommend to get started building a network of guys, building a tribe? Justin, I know you're big on this. Let's shift over to you on this.
Well, I think it starts with, it depends on what kind of timeline we're talking about. If we're talking about what can we do right now, number one, men need to understand that violence is necessary. Violence is perennial. Violence is never going to go away. And you have people in your streets right now that are willing to do violence against you. The notion that, you know, these packs of people are willing to be violent on New Year's Eve, for example. I'm the guy that the government doesn't want talking to large groups of men. Because I'm going to say, okay, we're going to have our own group, and we're going to walk around, and we're going to make sure that everybody's having a good time. We're going to defend our women. We're going to defend our streets, our neighborhoods. And we're only going to be as violent as we need to be to help mitigate, you know, this invasive force from sabotaging our culture and environment. And I think if that isn't on the table, then everything else is really just a matter of what the government and these other forces allow you to have. You know, and I'm never going to sit there and negotiate and be satisfied with, you know, being given, you know, my level of freedom by somebody who I don't agree with, somebody who's not in my tribe, somebody who doesn't share my same cultural goals. So for me, men need to understand that, yeah, you may have to get your hands dirty. And if you're not willing to do that, then, you know, sit in the back seat, because those are the people that you need right now. Ironically, the more of those people there are and the more of that presence is felt, the probably less violence there will be. You know, if we're talking about over 500, you know, and I just recently did an episode on these attacks also, over 500 cases of different attacks, the majority of them of a sexual nature. You know, if we're talking about, well, what could potentially happen by European men traveling in groups, well, is it worse than 500, you know, people being attacked? It's like, it's already fucked up. What exactly, you know, are we looking to avoid? I'd rather, let it be 500, but at least 250 of them getting fucked up in the process.
Yeah, I hear you, Justin.
I'm getting fired up over here, Henrik.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's what we want, you see. All right, Paul, tell us a bit about some of the things that you've learned along the way when it comes to creating tribe, getting guys together, and all that kind of, all the problems and also wonderful things that came with, you know, creating wolves.
Sure. You know, I think that one of the things that is the most important is that we can't ever really talk about timelines, because it's good to plan, but I've found that too much planning keeps people from doing shit. And it's really important that people do begin to clan together and form network, because, like you said, it doesn't matter how strong or how intelligent or whatever you are on your own. Everybody needs allies, especially in a world where the enemy is already arrayed on the field. You know, it reminds me of that scene in Braveheart where the English are there and the one little guy's like, the English are too many, you know, and everybody starts to fuck off. If you're not able to present an alternative of strength, men that you would normally have on the battlefield are going to begin to leave because they see no strong leadership. And so this is sort of the entire point of what Operation Werewolf is, as separate from the Wolves. Operation Werewolf is sort of like a banner that people can fly, and there are Operation Werewolf divisions, which is sort of like small, I would say like almost like boxing clubs, sort of all over the world right now. We have guys everywhere from South America to Europe, all over America, Canada, everything, and I think that you base it around whatever you can base it around. You just get started. So base it around something physical, because I believe that transformation has to sort of begin on a physical level because it's the easiest for us to understand. I can also say that from personal experience, oftentimes when you get guys who maybe are what the Golden One would call like bait the leftists, when you get those guys training and you get them working out and lifting weights, it starts to change their mental process. And I can't get into or even understand why this happens exactly, but when people start to become physically strong, oftentimes if there's a decent mind in there, it begins to think differently, and it begins to start hardening itself up as well. And so I think that thing number one is you just have to get going. Thing number two is get together with some guys, start training, start doing things on a cultural level as well. So one of the easiest ways that you can get started with a group of guys is, you know, meet up at a gym, lift some weights, do some boxing. You know, there's a million resources out there. Everybody always says they're too broke, they don't have time, whatever. Quit making excuses. You go on YouTube, you get some drills, you work the drills together. You know, afterwards, sit down, do sumbul, you know, sit down and do ritual drinking rounds. Make this a weekly thing or a monthly thing where, you know, people say, hey, this is what I'm going to accomplish this month. This is a way that I'm going to improve myself and make myself better this month. And you have now guys who are going to hold you to that. They're going to expect the next time you come to sit down in that brotherhood, they're going to expect you to have not only achieved that, but now they're going to expect that you're setting your sights higher. And I think, you know, Justin talks about this a lot. One of the most important facets of tribe, and even beginning tribes with 2-3 people, is pressure. You have to pressure each other and confront each other, because without confrontation and confrontability, you will rapidly lose every forward momentum, every bit of forward momentum that you have. And, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, whether it's Marcus or Justin or whatever, whether you're in a shitty neighborhood in the American South or the Bronx, you know, where Justin is, or whether you're, you know, over in Sweden and there, or you're Germany and there's 1,000-man rape gangs. Well, one thing that's not going to hurt is to have a crew of guys who have been training and who have been training for just such a moment.
That's right.
There's a lot of specifics, you know, that go into creating groups and organizations, but at their core, it's about planting a seed, and that seed is simple. It's getting together with people who are like-minded and pressuring each other to be better, and that's really the entirety of it. And when you fly a banner and people see that you are presenting unified strength, they will join that. And if they're not worth shit, you don't want them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can chime in there. Regarding the timeline, in Sweden, we kind of have a timeline. I'm just predicting that the summer of 2016 will be quite rough in some regards. I will return to Sweden come summer, at least, because the harassment of Swedish women has been a thing that is going on for 5-10 years, something. What is changing this year, this summer, is the sheer volume of it. So there will be plenty of opportunities for Swedish men to test their mettle. And seeing as summer is coming up, I suggest that all Swedish listeners right now is beginning to look for brothers that they can, as Justin Paul say, train with, do cultural things with, form a team, and obviously strength train and train a lot of martial arts, be accustomed to violence, be prepared to take hit steer base, plan strategy, whatever. And I'm not talking about going out into the street and beating up the next Afghani guy you see. I'm talking about, you know, the patrols, etc.
Obviously, we don't support anything that's either immoral, illegal, or could possibly cause physical harm to another precious human life.
let me add one thing here. One of the things, again, my buddy Tom Kyer said on one of my podcasts was, you know, being a man is being somebody, and being a warrior is being somebody that your tribe wants you around when something goes wrong. You know, whether it's a baby choking, they want you there. Your car breaks down, they want you there. They need to build a house, they want you there. Well, right now, there is a border that needs to be defended. There is a culture that needs to be defended. And part of taking on that role of a man, the role of a warrior in the tribe of these European countries is being there for what you need to be there for. And that right now is standing up against these people, standing up against this invasion. So you can't opt out of participating in the tribe. So understand, if you're not doing it, if you're not helping make the situation better, your presence is making it worse.
Yep. You know, get up on your ass, guys.
Yeah, and just quick, without trying to sound trite, I'd like to salute Marcus for saying he's going to go back to Sweden in the summer because he thinks it's going to get rough. That's balls. That's what a man does, and I have a huge amount of respect for that. So, hails to you,
Marcus. Absolutely.
Oh, cheers, man. Yeah. I couldn't possibly sit here in Ireland in safe distance and talk about these things, even though my girl is Irish and everything. But as I think it's either Aristotle or Plato, neither passion nor pain should come in between a proper decision. And like, yeah, it might not be fun, but I know that all Swedish men will feel better after it. You know, the best pillow is a good conscience, and the right thing to do is obviously to go out on a patrol once in a while. And if you see an Afghani rape gang molesting a Swedish girl, yeah, get in the mix, wreak as much chaos as possible. And yeah, I'm talking about beat the living shit out of them. No question about that at all. That's not something I'm
wrong.
Yeah, like it might be bad to say if the police are watching or seeing, but whatever, like it. It is what it is.
Well, you know, we're in a really bad state here, and it's time for everybody to, you know, get up from their asses and start doing something here. I mean, I support the guys that are going. So I know some people that are going to the border. They're trying to do their thing. There are some countries, obviously, that have built fences, which means that there are lesser territory where people come through, etc. Just being there as a presence and letting these people know that they're not, welcomed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially because we don't get to vote on the issue. And we got to show our discontent and that we're not happy with the way that our governments and our politicians and our elites are forcing this down our throats. People are traveling to the border, you know, doing things. If nothing else, support those people and then do what you can in your area. Because I know people can't just, you know, pick up and leave. They have jobs, their families to support, they're working. See, this is the other problem. We can actually talk more about that in the second hour, but this idea that most of these capable men, they're all working, trying to pay for this shit while the society is just going down the tube. So let's get into that actually in the second hour because, Marcus, go ahead.
I'm just going to quickly say something for everyone who's not Swedish. There has been a huge scandal in Sweden now in regards to festivals that we didn't know of. So, like last summer, there was mass harassments of Swedish girls at festivals. Now, obviously, I don't go to festivals, so I had no clue. But up to the coming summer, a lot of good, strong Swedish men will know when and where to be strategically to perhaps prevent rapes and show the presence that we're here in force now. And, you know, you don't even look at a Swedish girl without having to face the consequences of someone who will do perhaps harm to you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's pick this up here in the second, guys. But I do want to go around the table here once more and let the audience know about the websites where people can read more about you, whether these are personal or for your group or whatever. Let's begin with you, Marcus. Where can people go?
Narcissus.se, and there is all the links you need. And if you just want to search, it's the golden one, and I suppose that a lot of hits will come up, and also same on YouTube, the golden one.
Yeah, we'll add some of those links there. Justin, give us your links.
Quickly, before I promote myself, I just want to end this segment with a Nietzsche quote. He says, he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. So this is just a first hour Red Ice interview plea to the men listening. Like, there are things more important to you than trying to live forever. That being said, my website, for the website, is thepressureproject.com, and my Facebook page you could find, I got masterchim.com directed to it. So you go to masterchim.com, you'll find my Facebook.
And, Paul, can people, is the Wolves open? Do you guys have, like, a template that you've developed that you, you know, can recommend to people and these kinds of things? What's going on with that?
The best way to get to know the Wolves is to come in person. We don't keep an official web presence for that reason. It's very easy through social media to reach out to people that you know are involved. And I'll tell you that if you reach out and you say that you're interested in coming down, come down. Don't waste our fucking time. You can go to OperationWerewolf.com, and you can read blog stuff there. And if you want to support the war effort by buying gear, you can absolutely do that. Some of that cash, if Marcus says it gets too wild over there in Sweden, some of that might go to a summer vacation for the Wolves in Sweden, because that sounds like it could be a good time.
Awesome, awesome. You're welcome.
Very welcome, absolutely. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break here, but we'll have the links up to where you can find more material from these inspirational men that we're talking with here today. We have tons more to get into, so please do stay with us into the members segment. The second hour is coming up. We'll be right back after the break. Well, folks, don't miss the second hour. We have a great many things to continue to churn out with these three grindstones of gentlemen that will help us to sharpen our abilities on many different levels. If you're new to the show, what we do here is we have a members section where you can hear the continuation of our shows. First hour, always free, sometimes both, but for the most part, the second hour is for members. We, of course, spare you from commercial interruptions, cheesy sponsors, and blinking website ads. So when you want to hear more, sign up at redicemembers.com. It's only €6 per month, and our memberships go from 3 months to 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, and 2 years. We also have a subscription that auto-renews every 3 months. We have over 1,000 programs in our members' archives on a ton of different stuff, tracking our own evolution and progress over the 10 years that we've been doing this radio show. And today we talk a lot of politics, culture, ideology, and how to improve ourselves, better ourselves. But we have covered a lot of different stuff over the years, and we do take an interest in many different subjects, although for obvious reasons, some things are much more pressing than they ever have been in these times that we need to sort out before we have the luxury to worry about philosophy and the mysteries of the universe. But do take a look in our archives. You don't have to be a subscriber to search or browse around. We also have films, videos, inside episodes, and some really cool and valuable additions and updates coming soon. So support independent media that's giving you a perspective you'll hear in very few places, but that is needed, if you ask me, more than ever. So a superb second hour is coming up with Marcus, Justin, and Paul. Please stay with us.